Got your Bible, turn to the book of Judges, the book of Judges. I've been reading some in Samuel. I almost took you to Samuel. The book of Judges, and we're going to begin in chapter 13, the book of Judges, chapter number 13. I want you to notice what the Bible said. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, if you'll go down with me in verse 21, But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. That's as far as I'll read. There's a lot of reading in the life of this young man coming by the name of Samson. His birth was given in Annunciation. Very similar to that, of Abraham and his wife, that they would bear a son, Isaac. Very similar to that of Mary and Joseph. Very similar to that of Elizabeth and her husband, bearing John the Baptist. This annunciation from the Lord, a mother that could not conceive because of her age. And now she's going to bear a son. What I want to preach about this morning, you'll have to stay with me because I've got a lot of story to try to cover. What I want to preach about is the two sides of Samson. The two sides of Samson. Or the two lives of Samson. If you want to look at that. All of us have a spiritual life and we have a fleshly life. Us that are saved. We have that part of us that is separated unto God. Now, I want to tell you something about the life of Samson. When the Lord had appeared unto his mother and told him, or told her that she would conceive him, that she would bear a son, the angel of the Lord had commanded her, said, "Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." Which meant not even the energy or what a mother gives to her child in the womb that allows it to grow from what she eats and what she drinks. None of that was going to come from wine or grapes or anything that was unclean. Even after it may have digested in her body, still the nutrients of that would have passed on to the child. And God said, not even from the womb will he have ever had any of this. It was important to note that his mother was a separated woman. At how she lived was going to affect the life of her son. You believe that? Every parent, listen, how you live, mama, is going to affect the child under you. The separation that you say, well, you know, maybe God will do something. No, listen, it was important. What God was going to do in Samson's life started in the life of the mother. And if we want to pass down an heritage, listen, a godly heritage to our children, it starts in us.
Right.
Amen. I mean, he commanded her. He said, don't. He said, beware. I pray that drink not wine nor strong drink and eat not any unclean thing. It was a Nazarite vow that Samson would be under. He would not drink any wine. No strong drink, no unclean meat. His hair would not be touched. It would not be cut from the time he was born. Not a razor would come upon his head. He was going to be from his mother's womb under a Nazarite vow. Why that God could use Samson the way that he was going to use him to deliver the Israelites. They had been in a time of a period where God gave them judges to rule over them. And if you'll read the book of Judges, when they had a judge that was given them from God, that held them to the words of God, that would judge the land, Israel did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But when that judge got old and died, Israel suddenly began to do that which was right in their own eyes. This is going to affect the life of Samson. We're going to see that here in just a little bit. Living among those people and seeing them do that, the carnal side of Samson is going to want to do the same thing. If you look in Samson's life and see his birth is miraculous. How that this angel appeared to his mother. And then she told her husband. Of course, he didn't see the angel. And so he didn't know what to believe. But she prayed and said, "I want to... If you'd show yourself to me again." And sure enough, he revealed himself to her again in a field. You read the chapter. And she went and got her husband and brought him back. And he saw the angel of the Lord. And they began to speak to the angel of the Lord. And they were going to offer sacrifice to him. But he said, "If you're going to offer a sacrifice, you offer it to the Lord. I'm an angel of the Lord." They asked him what his name was. And he told them, he said, "Why do you want to know my name, seeing it's a secret?"
It interprets in the Hebrew. It's wonderful.
Kind of like the Lord, you know, said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. But this angel, when they offered up the sacrifice and burnt the flesh in fire, and the sacrifice was received of the Lord, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the fire, up into heaven, back to God. And they didn't see him anymore. What a miraculous birth. To think, I mean, if that had happened to me, I'd be sure not to drink any wine or eat anything that was unclean. I mean, for God to give an introduction for your children. But I want to say this, by the way. Your children's as important as Samson was to them. How you raise them is just as important as how they were going to raise Samson. Separated unto the Lord. That's how he was going to be. Sanctified unto the Lord. Kept for the Lord. That's how we should raise our children. Kept for the Lord. Not just handed over to the things of the world like everybody else. Samson wasn't everybody else. And listen, children of God, we're not like everybody else. We're a different people. We're a peculiar people. My wife had brought up a word this morning that she was reading about gazing stock. That's what the children of God are to the world. We are a gazing stock. What does that mean, preacher? It means someone or thing that is looked upon awe, either in awe or in contempt. And the world's either going to hate you and me for who we are, or they're going to want what we have. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If we're really the gazing stock that God has saved us, separated us to be, it is important how we live before the Lord, how we bring our children up before the Lord. Samson, his name means of the sun, S-O-N. He was the son of Manoah, the tribe in Zorah. It was on the border of Judah. He was of the tribe of Dan. I read it in your hearing. That there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites. He was of the tribe of Dan. His home was near Beth Shemesh, which means house of the sun, S-U-N. The birth announced by the angel in a dark time for Israel. They had been without a judge, and in 40 years of bondage and oppression by the Philistines. Think about that. Now God's sending a deliverer. God's going to send them a deliverer. See how important that it was? I mean, listen, of all that Samson was going to do, and we'll read some of what Samson accomplished, one side of his life, the spiritual side of his life, the side of his life that was separated, sanctified, called of God, and used of the Lord. If you look at Samson's life, you'll look through chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistine. Now, he's older now. The end of chapter 13, he's just born. The beginning of chapter 14, his whole young life has been grown up, and now Samson's a young man. He's got his eyes on a woman of the Philistines, which is not right. You see, that was the carnal side of Samson. Samson had a weakness. Are you listening to me? He had a weakness in his flesh. And every one of us as God's people, listen, we still have a weakness in our flesh. Our flesh is our weakness. Amen. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. Your spiritual man is never going to get along with your carnal man. And your carnal man is never going to want to do what the spiritual man wants to do. So Samson, listen, he's paying attention to his carnal man. Wait a minute. Somebody should have said, wait a minute. This is not right. Well, I believe his dad did. But you know what Samson said? He said in verse 2, and he came up, told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Daddy, go get that girl for me. I'm going to marry her. The father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? See, that's what God told him. Said, marry in the camp of Israel. Marry in one of the tribes of Israel. Don't seek out of the Amorites or the Philistines or the Canaanites. Don't go out to the world to find what you need. But in all the daughters of his brethren, he got his eye on a Philistine girl. And look what he said. To take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all the people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Well, you know the answer to that. Sure there would have been someone even more beautiful. Someone that would have been a positive to Samson's spiritual life. To what he was made to do. There's not a doubt in my mind there would have been a woman that would have helped him to have been the strong man he was supposed to be. To be the deliverer of Israel that God had called him to be. Why do I believe that? Because she would have been the spiritual wife, but he's going to pick out a carnal wife, and she's going to be the downfall of Samson. Look at his. Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. She looks good in my eyes, Daddy. I saw her. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Samson's doing the same thing now. He's looking with his eyes instead of with his heart. Instead of following the ways of the Nazarite vow. He's looking and he's seen so many in the camp of Israel do that which is right in their own eyes. He sees a beautiful woman of the Philistines. That's what he wants. It doesn't matter. Many others have done it. Besides what God has said to marry in the camp of Israel. He still wants to go and get a Philistine. Does it really matter? Sure it matters. Does God's word matter? Yes, it does. It matters what God asks out of you and I.
Yes, sir.
What God expects from you and I. It could mean either the upbuilding or the downfall of our spiritual life. There's not a doubt in my mind that there have been many Samsons that have failed because of a worldly pull. It don't just start. It don't just happen. You begin to gaze and you begin to look. As the same way with Lot. He began to see what was down there in the well-watered plains. Isn't that right? And the same thing happening to Samson. I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. But before we get there, I want you to look at some of the things that Samson did in his spiritual life. In chapter 14 in verse number 6. Well, in verse 5, then went Samson down to his father and his mother in Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, I don't know about you fellas. Listen, there used to be lions over there in that land. It's big time. Lions. I hate the thoughts of going out in my yard right up here in the mountains. And see a cougar. And that's not even the size of a lion. But a lion was down there in the vineyard and roared at him. And look what the Bible says. the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a little goat. That lion wasn't nothing more to Samson than a little baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. He didn't have a knife. He didn't have a stick. He had no spear. He had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. You see his pride.
I have a spiritual victory. Boy, I'm walking high now. I'm going to go down.
Listen, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Maybe the strength of Samson sometimes, maybe it was, listen, and it can be, if you and I, if a man thinketh he standeth,
right,
take heed lest he falls, what the Bible said. I'm too strong to stand. No, you're not. You're not too strong to fall. That's what I mean. I'm too strong to fall. God, use me this way. God used Samson over and over and over again. And in the meantime, Samson is flirting with the world and flirting with what he sees with his eyes. You can't do that. Look at what the Bible said. He slew 30 men in verse 19 of that same chapter. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them. And took their spoil and gave change of garments to them, which expounded the riddle, this riddle that he had set before them. Caught 300 foxes in chapter 15, verse 4 through 5. And set them firebrands in between their tails, turned them loose, and burned all the corn in Philistia. I mean, you talk about a judge against the Philistines. How they had treated the Israelites. They're getting retribution at the hands of Samson. Why? He's God's sanctified, separated Nazarite.
And it started with his mother. Her being separated.
And he's doing what God has called him to do in a sense, in an essence. But at the same time, he's got his mind on this woman. This woman that he's going to marry. He broke two new ropes that bound him in chapter 15, verse 14. In chapter 15, verse 15 through 17, he slew 1,000 armed men with just the jawbone of an ass. Think about that. The jawbone of a donkey. And these are men with swords, spears, shields. All he's got's the jawbone of a donkey. And he killed every one of them. The power of God was with Samson. There's no doubt the power of God was with Samson. Look at this. God brought water out of that same jawbone in chapter 15, verse 16 through 20. Because Samson was so thirsty after the fight. And he prayed to God and said, God, am I going to die of thirst? God had a hewed out spot in the jaw, in that jawbone, and brought water out of it. Like water out of the rock for the children of Israel in the wilderness. God brought water out of the jawbone of an ass for Samson until he was refreshed and life came back in him. He felt like, I can live now. Tore away a city wall, the doors and the gates of the city with the two posts. And carrying them to the top of the hill before Hebron. I don't know if you know much about the gates of a city. But that is a stronghold point. That those doors only opened after the men that guarded opened it. He yanked them out of the post of the ground, the whole thing, and drug the gate up to Hebron. I can't imagine a team of horses doing that. I can't imagine two teams of horses doing that, Brother Mike. I can't imagine what kind of strength God enabled Samson to have to jerk those gates and those posts out like that. And then to drag it up to the hill there before Hebron. Power. The power of God was upon this man. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking, he has a vow before God. He is doing certain things that God said, don't do it, Samson. And he says, I'm not going to do it. No wine. I'm not going to let a razor touch my head. I'm not going to eat any unclean thing. But he had his eyes on the world. And it began to affect him. It began to affect his discernment. He did not see. I don't believe that Samson could see that these little things could really take him down because of the such strength he had. The first thing that happened, if you read about it, I mean, you could just go on the things that he did. His first wife, she was of the Philistines. Now listen to me. I'm going to try to explain this. I can't preach wide open and really explain it to you. And the wife that he thought he was going to have, when he had went off and had to do something that he had to do, and by the time he got back, the father said, oh, I didn't know what become of you. I thought the wedding was off. Well, you can have her younger sister. I've done give her away. You can have her younger sister. Isn't she prettier than her? And so Samson, he set a riddle before the men of the Philistines. He said, I'll give you all a bunch of garments and silver if you can answer this riddle. They said, all right. And they were worrying themselves to death because they couldn't figure out what the riddle was. What the riddle was about, when Samson slew that lion, then when he came back with his wife, he saw the carcass of that lion. I don't know how much time had went by, but there was honey, bees, in the carcass of the lion. He took that honey and ate of it and brought it home to his parents. And the riddle was about that strong beast yielding that sweet, innocent honey. They couldn't figure it out. Well, his wife, being of the Philistines, she leaned upon him. Oh, she cried, Samson, you hadn't even told me. He said, I ain't even told my mom and daddy, and I'm going to tell you. I've not told anybody this riddle. Second day went by. Oh, Samson, you just must not love me. You'd tell me. And on, I mean, she just kept whining and she just wasn't going to get, she just pressed and whined and complained and pressed. Finally, the last day that they had to come up with the riddle, he tells his wife, oh, I'm going to tell you what it is. You know what she did? She ran right back down there to her people and said, this is what it is. She deceived him. She whined and got him to tell her. Now listen, the story goes on. You think Samson would have learned right there. But now he's got his eyes on Delilah. And you know what the Philistines do? They know he loves her. They said, find out where his strength lies that we can overtake. And when he tells you, then tell him, say, test him to make sure that's what it is. Tell him, the Philistines be upon thee. So she'd say, just right out, where's your strength at, Samson?
Well, you'd think, I mean, he'd say, she's trying to do me just exactly the way my wife. And he acted like, you know, he said, well, if you bind me with these whips that have not been dried, then all my strength will be. And so while he rested, she put those whips around him that had not been ever dried and said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. Come out from his sleep, broke the whips. She knew. You deceived, you lied to me, Samson, you lied. Trying to make him feel guilty for not telling her where his strength lies. Listen, I ain't going to tell no, you shouldn't tell no devil where your strength is. But it goes on and on. Four times she does this. And four times he tells her something different. Well, if you put on me new ropes that had never been used to tie anybody up with, then I'll lose my strength. And all four, listen, every one of the times, he'd fall asleep, he'd wake up, her saying, the Philistines are on thee, Samson. And he'd break whatever it was that she had him bound in, thinking he wouldn't have no strength. You think that that would tell him. You think he'd have some discernment. Reckon this woman's trying to really figure out what my weakness is so that. And you know what he finally did? He finally caved and said, I've never had a razor on my head. I'm a Nazarite. If a razor ever comes on my head, I'll lose strength. What did he think she was going to do? She did everything that he had told her. You'd think that he would have turn, listen, sometimes people just don't think the world's going to affect them the way that it's going to.
Right.
We lose all discernment that it's going to take the strength from us that it's going to take. That's the goal. That's the goal of the fleshly man.
Right.
To weaken the spiritual man.
Right.
That's the goal of the world and sin, to put you and I in bondage. And it will wear and wear and wear on you. It will stay. It will keep coming. Keep asking. Keep looking. Are you listening to me? We cannot stay in the lap of the world.
Yes, you're right.
It's going to take everything that God has given unto us and strip it from us.
Yeah.
And he woke up and she had cut his hair. And wist not that the Lord had departed from him as at other times. And he had no strength to fight them. And they bound him. And they tormented him. And they tortured him. Samson separated unto God as a Nazarite. A champion for God. A champion for God. Fell by the hands of one woman that tested him and then another one that took him down completely. The exact same way. The exact same scenario. See, if we continue in that. Well, I didn't get hurt so bad the first time.
Yeah.
Well, all it took was that second time.
Yes, sir.
In Delilah's lap that took his life nearly. And you know what it took? It took lowliness, torment, and time for Samson's hair to grow back. I don't know how long it took before the strength of God finally came back into him.
Hey.
And he had to pray that God would restore him. He had realized, listen, what had happened to him. It was his own fault. Here's a man that was untouchable by the Philistines. Was the deliverer of Israel. You think about what Samson may
have been able to do if he would have kept to his vow.
God wants to use every one of us that are saved today.
Right.
He doesn't want us doing that which is right in our own eyes. Well, I think this will be okay. There's more and more people that are living weak, worldly lives that are saved, and it's drawing others to live weak, worldly lives.
Amen.
And all it's going to do is hurt you. And it's going to cause you and me. Listen, it'll hurt me. It'll cause us not to be able to do what God has called us to really do.
Amen.
I'd way rather want to slay a lion with my bare hands, slow 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, catch 300 foxes, lay firebrands to their tails, and watch them burn the corn. I'm talking great victories by the hand of one separated Nazarite. The power of God on that man. To use him in such a mighty way. That's all God wants, is somebody that'll say, God, I just want to be used of you.
Amen.
My life, to do anything for the world, does not matter.
Right.
God, help me to live for you.
Amen.
Listen, and in these days, I'm going to say this and I'm done. You and I need to be very cautious. Very cautious who we're talking to about our riddles, who we're talking to about wherein our strength lies. We need to be very cautious the company that we're keeping.
Right.
Do you know that? God help us. The Lord wants to give us a great victory, the salvation of our people. That's what it meant, the deliverance of Israel. I want to see people saved, don't you?
Amen.
I want you to stand this morning.